You're on the radio with Khalil Jacobs-Fantuzzi from the local advisory board in Berkeley, California.
Okay, I just want to express my solidarity with the struggle out in California, right, and I hope you just keep it up, and I hope you win.
Right.
Thank
on.
You very much.
Thanks for calling. Huh?
And we need to win. It needs to be something that we can't, like, isolate to KPFA and win. This is a Pacifica issue. This is a national issue.
That's right.
So we need folks in New York to be included in that win.
Right on. Thanks.
And you're on the radio.
Hello?
That is right down where my question is, actually. On Clayton Rowley's program, when he was discussing it, I expressed my need to be neutral until I learn more information. I have to say that I felt myself really moving over toward, after hearing Mr. Imani speak from Pacifica.
No, the person right now who's on, Khalil?
No, earlier.
Oh, earlier.
Earlier today, yeah.
I really felt myself really moving over. But, you know, I'd like to make the judgment when I myself have heard Mary Frances Berry, but I really felt myself moving over in that side of the court. But I still am not sure about, other than the brotherhood, the need of brotherhood or sisterhood for the stations, what is the ramification of what's going on at Pacifica to WBAI? I mean, is Mary Frances Berry the person that programming questions are ultimately answered by?
Well, you have to understand that the memo that came out from one of the board members talking about sale of the station also mentioned WBAI as well as KPFA.
That particular email, which I still think is... I think that your mail was a setup to...
he admitted, though, he wrote it. That,
well, no, certainly... No, I know that he wrote it. That is what's authenticated, but that the fact of where it ended up, I think, was no mistake. But just a footnote on the apprenticeship idea, the intern idea from the previous caller, I think that this is something that's really expressed at BAI, and that it seems to me that nobody would stop you. It's up to the programming producers.
There's no
I
money.
I work with Bob Fast, Brother Shine brings in people, Barbara Nimri Aziz has
right.
interns.
But that's the on-the-job training type
that's
of thing
right.
we were discussing earlier, which, see, I think there's a question of style as well, because I think that's a great idea for Berkeley, but I have a feeling just my 10, 12 years as a programmer here, the other style might work a little bit better in New York. But, that's for really technical reasons.
Formal?
That's technical reasons I don't want to get into. That just goes into, like, you know, if this was a meeting of a board or something, I would make a statement saying what I thought would work best.
But the point is to continue
yes.
having people involved, to always have new
exactly.
people, to always have new voices.
And to have ways and creative ways to bring new people and get them involved.
Yeah. And I think that the issue of Pacifica is the fact is that they hold the license for WBAI.
Uh-huh.
And for KPFA, and for all the other stations in the network.
So the programming, because I've been wanting to submit for programming for years now, and I've never really been able to direct it to anyone. Well, as of late, let's say. I mean, I like many other people, I had discussions with Samori, but lately I really don't know where to direct it. And it sounds like what everyone's been saying is that the consensus lies with Mary Frances Berry.
For the programming at WBAI?
Yeah, is that right? It doesn't make sense.
Well, the issue was addressed with Mary Frances Berry on the call-in show earlier when people called in and asked specifically about this issue.
Right.
And she seemed surprised that there was no standard way of dealing with it, regular phone number or address where people could submit these ideas
yep.
and seemed to want that to become a reality here.
Yeah, it really is a problem. And what I'm finding is that there are many things that are delineated very specifically that are problems with this station or that station, and they don't seem to necessarily be able to be answered.
Remember,
by
it's
Mary
worth
Frances Berry.
$500 billion. $500 million. Pardon
many,
me. What's the
and,
use?
And
I mean, is
many,
500 million and 500 billion that different? It's like 500 and 5,000. It's the same to me. But $500 million
yeah.
is what I've heard is the true value of this network. People have been saying 100, 200 million, 300
yeah.
million, $500 million. Mm-hmm. is what this network is worth. Sometimes we have low ball estimates of what it's worth because they take into account the legal hassles that would be involved in making the sale final, because these are all nonprofit stations and all these people. It's like sort of an apartment house in New York that's full of tenants that don't want to leave.
Uh-huh.
Sort of keeps the value of the building down.
Uh-huh.
You know, an empty building sells for a lot more money. You know, uh-huh. and it's the same type of thing. If these stations were able to be freed from their community control, they would be worth a lot more,
even more
on the open market, like right, in the right. $500 million range.
Well, I'd love to squat on one of those airwaves personally.
And think of this, $500 million is about three times the value. I was watching TV today. Martha Stewart's worth $200 million. So 2.5 times the value of Martha Stewart. You could have the Pacifica Network could turn into 2.5 Martha Stewarts.
There's lifestyle experts.
So much going on. The Wall Street Journal you have to look at from yesterday about the FCC and where the shifting of the media ownership and the value of the airwaves. I mean, talk about the public owns the airwaves. It's just a sad joke.
And that's what I was saying earlier on in this program, that the pressure from the federal government to privatize is tremendous.
Enormous.
Yeah.
And it's no coincidence that we have a presidential appointee as head of Pacifica.
Right. Look at the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, thank you.
All right, T-Dub, thanks for calling.
We have to move fast, and you're on the air. Welcome to Let Him Talk.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I just want to say two things. Mary Frances Berry's a puppet of Rudolph Giuliani. That's just a joke. And two...
Although when she was here over the Diallo thing, she did speak highly of him.
She's no good.
Didn't they have dinner the other night?
Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe they did. I wouldn't be surprised.
I can't confirm that.
I'll look it up.
All I could say is that she's no good. This is COINTELPRO. She is part of a whole scheme. She's a good bullshit artist. To defang Pacifica, to undermine any potential activism that could be undermine this institution as the hub of activism. That's all I have to say.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks for your point of view.
I think that the New Yorkers are going to see through it, though.
Yeah, I think.
The BS that
we know a lot about BS. Yeah.
That comes in and sounds good. I mean, I think that New Yorkers are tough. I think they're going to see through it, and I think that very soon. The community activists, the listeners, and the staff are going to come together, and things are going to start getting hot out there.
All right, Khalil. And you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Khalil.
Hello.
First of all, I think, obviously, Pacifica is not a democracy, and fundamental reason for that is the bylaws of the foundation, which had an element of democracy in the past, were changed. So that the board itself, and this is old hat to a lot of people, but if you don't know it, this is what's underneath all this discussion.
Yeah, let's get
it
out.
The board is completely, absolutely self-appointing.
Self-appointing.
And nobody can ever change that the way it's structured now. There's a lawsuit going on because this is also, in my opinion and the opinion of a lot of lawyers, against the law.
Right.
And I'm going to give out, I want everybody to get their pencil and paper out there who actually wants this discussion to come to a point of action and a point of power. And that's about money and the law.
Defense fund.
Okay, because we do have laws in this country, and they still work if we make them work. If we don't make them work, they'll work against us. And this is the name of the law firm in California, which is accepting donations to fund a suit against Pacifica to make it, once again, a democratic foundation that has to answer, at least indirectly, to its listener sponsors, to its lab, board members like the fellow on the air, Khalil. Now, the name of the law firm is Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, and Yee, Y-E-E, trust account. Their address is 499 14th Street, suite number 220, Oakland, California. And the zip is 94612. And put on the back of your check, Pacifica suit.
All right, run through it again real quick.
Sure.
So everybody can confirm that they have it right.
Right. Siegel and Yee Trust Account, 499 14th Street, Suite 220, Oakland, California, 94612. And let's all of us put our money where our mouths are. If you had some kind of a busy signal counter on your 10 lines, I'll bet there'd probably be a few thousand calls that didn't get through. And that would be a good way to, by the way, to count how many people are listening. If you can get that kind of technology in on a station, that does exist for commercial stations, busy signal counters, they're called.
Oh, right on. That's a great idea.
In any event, I think that the bottom line, so that all these different voices we heard who have different opinions about what should be on BAI and how it should get there, if we don't change the way the board is structured, it doesn't matter how many thousands of people go out in the streets and get arrested. It's an embarrassment to Mary Frances Berry. It's an embarrassment public relations-wise. But fundamentally, they have the power. they took the power over when they made themselves a self-appointed board. And as things stand now, if this lawsuit does not proceed, they will keep that power, and they will at some point either sell the stations off or radically change, you know, in a way that we don't want, with the content of the stations. And that, I think, would be a sin. And the only way I think it's important to get our bodies out on the line and make a lot of publicity and make a lot of noise. But if that noise doesn't translate into dollars, it won't work. It's over. The only chance I really think we have of reversing the situation is to fund that lawsuit to the max, and also congressmen, senators, make a public stink out of it in the government. You know, we still have a government that will work for us if we make it work for us. And the local politicians in New York, Charlie Rangel. There are people who, in California, I heard, Mike, maybe your guest, Mr. Khalil, can tell us something about that, about the hearings in the California State House.
California legislature, yeah.
We played some tape early
Robert
on.
Knight had some incredible tape from
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, right before us.
Well, the point, that makes my point, that we do have, if people get involved, we do have power. And what Khalil suggested is that thousands, not just a few hundred, but thousands of us have to be used to make lemonade out of this lemon. We've got to take this threat to Pacifica and make it into a good thing and use it as a rallying cry. Remember the Alamo, remember the Maine, this is it.
Remember KPFA.
There you go, KPFA.
Not beyond just remembering it, let's listen. We can get it on the Internet.
Anyway, I'm going to let someone else get on now because I know how long I had to wait to get on. Other people waiting just as long, so I'll let them get on.
All right, right
Thank
on.
You very
Thanks
much.
For
Take
that
care.
Information.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to also give out the number for Save Our Station for all the people in New York who are interested in being involved, all the listeners. That's 212-465-7562. 212-465-7562.
Okay.
That's Save Our Station hotline.
Great. And we still have a full board of call.
The issue of, they took away affirmative action, completely changing who had access to my university. And it actually did have a serious implication in terms of me looking for work and actually securing my teaching credential program. My certificate. And the reality is that I'm dedicated to being a teacher, and I think that what I have to offer the students is something that's important enough. So although Berkeley did not red flag my application and Oakland red flagged my application, I fought and fought and found my way in, and now I'm teaching in San Francisco.
Well, good luck, man. And Martha Stewart probably inhaled once.
Or twice.
Or twice. Good night.
All right. Good night. A Martha Stewart comment.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a. I really appreciate the caller a couple calls ago. I have a self-critical but really important question to be addressed. We're criticizing the national board for its self-selection and self-perpetuation, but our own local advisory boards are self-selecting, self-perpetuating boards. If tomorrow we woke up and Dr. Barry and Lynn Chadwick said, we want to have a representative national board, we couldn't have our LABs couldn't send people with a legitimate claim to their positions. We need boards composed of seats elected by paid staff, unpaid staff, and the listening community with some sort of proportional representation system so that a simple majority doesn't tyrannically, rule over minority voices. But I've heard, except for some, there's some active LAB members, except for some, there's been a real silence from the LABs on democracy. I applaud the BAI LAB for calling for the resignations, and same with the KPFA LAB. But what I'm not hearing is a call to democratize the LABs. And that's got to be another front. I mean, we can't have a democratic Pacifica without having that happen. So I'm kind of wondering, for maybe Khalil can address this, is what are the political machinations behind this inertia? And what can we, the listening community, do to, get this moving?
I think that's a critical, very important question that has been raised at our local advisory board meetings, that has been discussed by our local advisory board. And me as an individual local advisory board member, that's a critical thing. I don't want to be a part of a board where I have not been elected. So we have right now community groups. You know, we had one organization, you know, Take Back KPFA, who had been around for many, many years, and now we have a whole slew of different groups, including the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica, who use only a small D until we become democratic. And people are working on drafting and taking a look at community organizations that do have elected boards and are drafting possibilities and submitting them. And I know that I am very interested and dedicated to making that process happen, and we are working on that. There are those of us who are working on that. And I think that once we come up with something that can ensure diversity and that is democratic and includes the listeners and the community, I would hope to think that all of us who are demanding democracy within Pacifica and want to see democracy, and I would hope that we would be very, very supportive of it. And I know that me individually, I am definitely 1,000% in support of that.
Yes, I mean, I know. I see you at this, a lot of the same meetings that I go to, and I know that you are. And I, too, hope that we can achieve that.
Are you calling from California?
Yes, indeed.
Are you listening to the Internet?
I am.
All right.
Very interesting.
Maybe for the New York audience, how can BAI listeners get involved to get a similar kind of push going for the New York or for the BAI local advisory board?
Well, we're just reading the phone number for Save Our Station. I think what we have to do is build on one of the most exciting things that happened out of tragedy, because when Samori Marson passed away, there was a memorial service at this very large cathedral here, St. John the Divine, very progressive, righteous place, and it's huge, holds a tremendous amount of people, thousands
Beautiful.
Of people. And it was packed with people who came to memorialize Samori. He had a tremendous, tremendous power as a leader, and we miss him greatly. And we have to reach out, and we need that kind of leadership. I call it Jimi Hendrix crossover leadership that can bring together the diverse, huge, roiling mass of listeners and supporters of WBAI and weld them together into a force like happened in KPFA. And hopefully we can do that before it's some, you know, it's a situation like we're being attacked and we're under fire and our station's taken away from us and that unites us. We try to get to that position before that comes.
Yeah, because, I mean, make no mistake, WBAI is next on the chopping block. I mean, after KPFA, the sites, if they're not already on WBAI, the sites turn to WBAI. I mean,
it's worth even more than KPFA.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, money-wise. Follow the money. Yes.
And it's also important to note that it's not like there's one harmonious body of people doing the work out here in the Bay Area. And we have to be aware of the fact that there are differences, but that needs to be reflected in the fact that there's not one group doing work out here. We have a whole variety of different groups, including, you know, organizations and including all these different groups of people. It's like, I think that it's really important that folks that are out there in New York understand that it's not going to be one group that saves anything.
Are we really respect the coalition building that we've seen happen out there?
And the most important thing is that we all, first of all, get active. Do something beyond just complaining or thinking about it. Do something. Get to work on changing the bylaws. Come up with a document. Go and organize in the community and get people to understand these issues, the importance of community radio, the importance of free speech, and then be open and willing to work with other groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when that happens, also, I mean, it's important to know that eventually there's going to, I mean, people, when it actually happens, there are going to be people, there are going to be staff particularly, who are fearful of real listener input. And there are going to be local advisory board members who are fearful of real, when it comes right down to it, of really having the members elected by staff and listeners. What was my point?
It's late.
It's
later here than there.
And so to staff, paid and unpaid, I would just say that, you know, the listening community has been awakened. I mean, out here, certainly, you know, to save KPFA, and there's, you know, the listening community in New York, I think, from all I can tell and hear and read, is growing and growing. The listening community has been awakened, to save their stations and take back Pacifica Sound Foundation, but having been awakened, they're demanding their rightful place at the decision-making table, and there's no possible way to go back to the way things were. So I hope that, you know, staff will get used to the idea that things are going to change.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call all the way from California.
All right.
All right.
Our second
internet.
California call.
New media.
That's
the
right.
Power of the internet. And you're on the radio from anywhere in the world, for all we know.
Hi, it's Professor Kleistron.
I
have an interesting proposition. I have access to a rare breed. It's an honest lawyer, and he's a foundation lawyer. And he could sweep in probably in a couple hours. He's a workaholic, could probably take the whole Pacifica Foundation apart. Go back to all the nitty-gritty laws. He's very good at what you call the slam dunk, which means like a totally inundated, destroyed lawsuit. Do the work that prepares Pacifica to be laid open. And then we could finish up let's hand it over to law students, say, at Columbia University, and let them actually go and serve the hours in court to serve his work and complete it.
Well, I think that's all to be taken seriously. I think the first step is that we have to build the coalitions and the unity so we know what the hell we want to do in case we wind up in control of this huge, beautiful network.
No, don't think of a huge, beautiful. What I'm saying is let's separate the task and what comes later. If somebody wants to organize with me, you know how to reach me, of course, right?
Well, why don't do you have an email or anything like that?
You know, Patty.
Yeah, right.
Right
through SOS.
To save our station?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is if we could pay him for about 3 hours, what you find out, it's not these euphemistic, civil rights lawyers. With the exception of maybe, what's his name, Randy Credico, you find that most of these guys are like a major league self-serving flakes on one level or another. It's the people who do the estates, the foundations. These are the people who on a day-to-day, they have a big paycheck from their hourlies, but these are the people who are honest, who know how to row oars. And in the case of a friend, I don't want to mention him, know basically how to drop the bomb, how to lay out the plan and drop it.
Wow.
And I think it would be like a quick, it's like having the plumber over for that big problem that's been for 2 years and it's got to be done, or like having that wisdom tooth pulled.
I know that story. Thank you very much, caller.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's interesting, yeah. But I still say you can't really move unless you got the people behind you.
I think that's the most critical part. I think that like the other things in terms of like getting the legislative and getting elected people and officials and getting the court case, all that is determined and that is possible ways. But it's nothing if you don't have a power base of people. I guess I'm kind of old fashioned, even though I am young, in believing that the people have the power and that there's real power that comes from people taking the time to organize.
The struggle's at all different levels. The fundamental struggle is going to be with the people, the listeners. And you're on the air.
Hello?
The ad in the New York Times refutes the idea that only my attack is a racist one. But listen,
let me ask you straight up, Monroe. Did you ever
talk about my talking to Bernard White and saying he was a black MF-er. I am prepared to talk about that the way he talked to me. And I said
oh,
black.
That was said.
I said black because he has got a chip on his shoulder towards a person who talks the way I do. I mean, in the sense of I'll tell you what happened. It's a long story. Let's put it on for next week. I don't want to.
Yeah. Let's put it on for next week, yeah.
Look, Mark Twain used the term, the N term, and he was for the people. So, a criticism. Angela Davis signed the New York Times.
We'll forgive you.
No,
please don't do it again.
No, look, you know I don't do it every second. But
right,
let me just say this, that Bernard White is a bully.
No, okay.
I think
the truth comes out.
The important thing is that people have to be responsible for their actions.
Exactly.
All across the board.
Exactly.
We can't make heroines out of people that use racist remarks without acknowledging that they may be good writers and at the same time are, you know, racist.
And if somebody says something stupid and apologizes profusely enough, I think they should be forgiven. But that's another story. You're on the radio.
Hello? You there? Hello?
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 Go ahead.
Well, there you are. You're on the air, hon.
All right, I certainly didn't expect to get on this quickly. Right, I just want to make two points. I mean, you really don't know how long you have. Could be till 6 in the morning.
I truly hope not. Go ahead.
But in any event, look, to Paul in particular, I know you've been fairly modest about what you've been doing, but you really do stand out among on-air, what you could call personalities at BAI, and being very public about this. You're not the only one, but you certainly stand out, and certainly given the number of hours you normally get on the air, it's almost a singular voice. Anyway, the other point I'd like to make is that there's a saying that's used, the fish stinks from the head. And it's often said, like, they stink and we're righteous. But I see it as an invitation to be self-critical, that that the fish stinks from the head, that it goes all the way through, that listeners the listeners need to look at themselves and see what's worthy of critique there. I'm not making any specific criticism, just that's the sort of thing that's never heard on the air and likely, very possibly never will be. But listeners have the ability to do that, and need to keep that in mind. Again, thanks, Paul and Joni.
No problem.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Sure. What's it about? I mean, why did I get involved at BAI in the first place if not to do what it's all about? I mean, to reach out to the people, to motivate the people. I mean, I was attracted to BAI when I was a teenager growing up in the 60s and early 70s. I mean, it had a tremendous impact on me. And it's funny. It's probably not so funny, not so surprising I wound up with a show here, you know. So I have to thank Pacifica and WBAI for that. And I guess I believe and feel I want to see that mission continued. I don't want to see it lost. And I feel very, very strongly about that. And you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'd like to direct a question to Khalil. I'm reading in this leaflet that I picked up at the rally about diversity in Berkeley. There's a little box here. And in general, I'd like you all to address what's happened at the other stations as an indication of where things might be going.
You mean like in Houston and in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I think what the National Board has accomplished in those cities, with the stations in those cities, is kind of scary. This particular leaflet says that 40 unpaid programmers at KPFA, the more radical black programmers, the Indian shows, labor shows, civil liberties, prison, gay rights, women's issues, Central America, Cuba, all this has been, a lot of this has been eliminated.
That's in Houston, Texas Station.
This one says Berkeley.
Oh, in Berkeley.
Well, it says 40 unpaid programmers.
In the past, I think, yeah, and Khalil, wasn't there a history of leading up to this in the mid-90s where there was almost like a several Saturday night massacres of sorts of programmers?
That did happen.
What was behind that?
That's a whole big can of worms of complex different layers. But I mean, I think that the point that the caller brings up in terms of taking a look at what's really going on at these other stations, like what happened in Texas or in Houston, a show, a program, a diversity of like 7 or 8 different languages with an unbelievable talented group of people doing news, becoming a very monocultural program of the music of
and then
country and Western music.
Country and Western music.
And it says here that there's no locally produced news now.
That's right.
And that also there's no Latino programming, even though the city is what they're...
Yeah, there's no bilingual programming.
There used to be quite a lot. There was also Vietnamese language programming because there's a huge population of Vietnamese
Texas,
immigrants who live in Texas.
So did Mary Frances Berry talk about that?
Well, the leaflet says that she said this is a fine example of the new look.
Well, she did. What she said was that she thought that they had done good work, basically, in
diversifying. That they had a strategy and a plan. Didn't they also bring the station manager from Houston to Berkeley, Khalil?
That's right.
Garland Ganter.
It says also that there's only one black program left.
In Houston. Saying is that they're just beginning. They had to clean the slate in order to now implement their plan. The new strategy. And that this music is a transitional thing to that new strategy.
What, the country and Western music?
I guess so.
It's not there to stay like the Alamo?
I guess so. Well, you know, the next show, which is called Night Shift, has just arrived. And Mike Sargent, who is coming in with his video camera, and he is... Making sure that we have evidence.
I'm telling you.
Making sure we have video evidence of everything that
I'm
went on
makeup
here.
Makeup next week.
We have been trapped. We've been right here. Here's the Seagrams. Boy, we've been drinking all night. You had to stay awake.
Good show.
We've had a great time. We've had the opportunity to be on for 3 hours. We have to thank Night Shift for providing that opportunity. And we have to thank Khalil Jacobs-Fantuzzi. Are you with us, Khalil?
I'm right here.
Right. So thank you very much. Let me give you 30 seconds to wrap up. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank you all for making sure that the other sides of the discussion are not overlooked, that the New York audience understands that this is not an isolated issue of just white men over the age of 50. I'm 23 years old. I'm a high school teacher, and I am one of many of the young people in the Bay Area that have become seriously involved and committed to this issue, and we're not going anywhere. And folks understand that this is a national issue. It's not about saving KPFA. It's about dealing with the issue of democracy, dealing with the issue of community radio and free speech on a national level. And we are committed, and we know that through these communications and through the power of the radio that, you know, movement will happen, that people will get awakened, and people will act where we need to be acting. And all power is still in the hands of the people.
All right. Thank you very much, Khalil.
Yeah, thanks, Khalil, for being with us.
Yeah, we'll
thank
do
you
this
all
again
very much
sometime.
For having me.
Yeah, we're going to keep on this. Thank you very much. All right, Khalil joining us from Berkeley, California. Thank you, all those callers, many people who called, including 2 calls at least that
from
we know
California.
Of from California, from people who were listening on the internet and called us long
right.
distance.
Thank you, Paul Williams, for getting that together.
Thank you very much. Paul Williams did a great job. We can get calls, and we are getting calls from all over the country from people who are listening to Let 'Em Talk and to the other programs on WBAI over the internet on the World Wide Web at www.wbaifree.org. And late night long distance rates are cheap, so you can call and
so
it will not really set you
listening.
Back. It's not that much. You can spend 20 minutes on or 10 minutes on. It's only a couple bucks. It's a great deal. So get in there, and if you do it, you should get Working Assets. Working Assets supports the people.
The staff at KPFA.
And the staff at KPFA. And I am a Working Assets user, and Working Assets Long Distance is a great company, and I give them a little plug, you know, because they've been doing some good work, and they have very low
and
rates.
And don't forget to give out the address again for people to write us.
Our address here, we need you to write us and to tell us how much you love Let 'Em Talk. Let 'Em Talk, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We need it in writing. PDR at echonyc.com, or just write it snail mail. Let 'Em Talk, care WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Or email us, PDR at echonyc.com. or Miss Moosey, MissMoossy at yahoo.com. Keep those cards and letters coming. Keep those emails coming. We're collecting it all. Now is the time. If you love this show, you see the importance of this show, we need that written, solid, you know, black and white support. We need it. So thank you so much. Thank you to Night Shift, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Good night.